I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Today we are drawing from yet another of Promax's new series of virtual sessions. We've got Promax President and CEO Steve Kazanjian conducting a Q&A with three agency business development executives: Denixa Diaz, executive producer at iArtists; David Edelstein, executive director at Trollback & Company; and Tony Cadillac, executive director at Thornburg & Forster. A few ideas that immediately pop out: this challenging time is really requiring everyone to place an emphasis on relationships over business. And maybe that's a good thing. And there's a point at which, and maybe we've passed that point, it's time to just get back to work. In case you haven't heard, Promax's June conference and Station Summit are going virtual. Keep an eye on promax.org for details and upcoming sessions. Okay, let's tune into the conversation.
Let's start with 3 weeks ago. Like, walk me through when you made the call, how you communicated to your clients, and what you did right. And more importantly, like, what could you have done better?
For me, I'm going to start. For me, it was about thinking of the people that are our members, our friends. By the way, thank you everyone for being on here with us. We have members from all over the world, and we're with you. So it was about reaching out and finding out how are you doing and how can I help, more so than saying, okay, we're all in this together. And it was just a process for me personally of understanding what was going on and then reaching out just to reconnect with the community.
And Tony, what about you?
Can I say, like, I kind of freaked out a little bit, at least.
You can always say you freaked out.
I read something on LinkedIn this morning that I thought was really kind of appropriate about, like, the different emotional stages. And it's not like the 12-step process, but there was the three stages that are described as fear, learning, and then growth. And I was, you know, I'll admit to a lot of people, my personal friends and people I don't know, but I was pretty firmly entrenched in that fear zone at that initial stage for everybody, right? And it's not that it stops you from doing business, but it kind of fundamentally shakes the ground you stand on, right? And you don't know how you should react. And more often than not, you defer to, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to do it wrong. You know, I think I've done a lot of things wrong in my life, but I, especially at this early stage, nobody knows how to act, right? So the only thing you can do is just affect your behavior, right? And we don't know what the outcome is going to be. We can't control the outcome, but I kind of found a little bit of, I found my footing a little bit, I guess, is the easy way to describe it, which is I can only control the things I can control. And the only thing I can control is my behavior. And I really went back to the basics, but Denix is 100% on. I mean, I defaulted to, these are my friends. This is my community. These are the people I care about. That's where I'm going to start.
David, what about you guys?
Yeah. I mean, us as a company started talking about it a couple of weeks before it actually happened, as far as New York shutting down, but we tested our set workflow out on a Friday and then never came back. It was very interesting. I think it was more denial than fear. But I think it's, you know, I agree with everybody else. I mean, it's like we all know each other really well. We're all in the same boat. So it was really just like, how do we approach current clients? You know, big question is, how do we approach new clients? And I think we're still working through it and trying to figure it out. I mean, I don't think anybody, obviously none of us have been through this, so it's hard to have a real answer.
Well, you know, it's interesting. And I should say to everyone watching, there's a Q&A function as well. We're going to be taking a Q&A at the end of it. So if you want to add your questions as we go through, we'll go through those as well. For us, I feel that it was over a course of like 36 hours, that Thursday into a Friday, where it became more and more real. And there was this general wave of, wait, we're really doing this. And still that disbelief, like, oh, it's only going to be a week. We'll be back in a week, you know. No, you don't need to bring your monitor. You're going to be fine, you know, that type of thing. And the question is, though, as you know, when we were doing a pre-call for this earlier, Tony, I think you brought this up, which is really interesting, is that, and we'll get into what business development means in a post-COVID world, but you know, you guys have been saying that, like, the business development for you guys has actually been getting more personal. Like, it's been going from emails, right, to calls, and now into Zooms and into people's lives and living rooms. And how has that you know, how's that changed the way that you go about your driving business? And, you know, what's been the most surprising part of that for you guys?
Well, I think for me, since you kind of teed me up for it, is I've we all create this human connection, right? And for those of us who have day in, day out been in front of people, mm-hmm. you know, I've almost been trying to force the video chats on people that I have that conversation with. Right. In a very friendly, offhand fashion, but there, you know, there is still something about this kind of person-to-person connection. Even if I, you know, I'm not in the same room with you, but you can read visual cues from people. And I think it's that ability to connect at a more kind of substantive level. And things are getting a little bit more personal because for those of us who have been in this business for any period of time, these are our friends, these are our colleagues as well, but these are people that we have genuine connection to and have genuine compassion for. And, you know, it's, none of us know how this is going to turn out, but you know, the only way we can do it is together. And for those who I know who are really isolated and kind of by themselves in this, I almost feel like I need to almost take an extra step forward and right. really try to make sure that, you know, I'm here, I'm available to you 24 now, 18/7 to have a, you know, we all have to sleep a little bit, but I mean, it's just trying to navigate those waters. I, you know, none of us again know what that outcome is going to be, but I've really been trying to just have more real-time, quote-unquote, in-person conversations with people to the extent possible.
And it's yeah. kind of, how's it been received?
Generally well. I mean, I told you guys, I had to build a bookshelf and decorate it and put plants on it. So, you know, we all want to show off our space or whatever, pretend like we've got a space to show off. But it, generally speaking, I think people have been very, very open to it. The conversations, they're hard to finish, right? Because there's no punchline at the end. There's no kind of defined output other than stay in touch. And, you know, it's my job to stay in touch. I've been doing it this way for 10 years as it is. So it's really no different for me being a remote person, but I think everybody else seems to be having, you know, a lot of kind of not trouble, but everybody's adjusting to it. So, you know, the best thing we can do is just try to connect as much and as often as we're willing.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting, and the next thing you maybe feel it too, like being in New York, we still don't interact that much in person with clients these days. A lot of it is done through conference calls or now Zoom and things like that. So we're kind of adjusted to this, but having that opportunity to meet in person and not have that opportunity really changes a lot. And I think what's different now is we're all in the same boat. I mean, the clients, us as companies that provide a service to those clients, we're all going through it at the same time. So we're all experiencing the same thing, which is really unusual for us.
I moved from doing a ton of communication through email to moving into calls and more virtual calls like this, and also FaceTime, Skype. And I've been back to back on calls. Last night I had a call with the creative director from New York. It was 9 o'clock for me and it was midnight for her. And we were both, you know, on FaceTime with no makeup on and just talking about life and what's going on and how do we adapt to this new reality and how do we adopt more technology and virtuality to our lives? Because I think this is a very important point in our lives where everything is going to change from now on. There's no going back. So it's great that now we can actually have that face-to-face more often and it's not that complicated. Obviously, we've been doing it for years, but now more so than ever. For me, it's been great. It's been great to have that connection. I'm a social person, so I need to have that interaction, even if it's just social virtually.
What's interesting is one of the benefits of the role that I'm in is I have countless conversations across all parts of the industry globally all the time. And specifically with our agency community, I feel that there are two main kind of camps that are bubbling up when it comes to business development. On one hand, the conversation that the three of you just had, which is about this very personal, connected, relatable, raw, in my living room kind of experience. And then the other camp, which is, oh, is it the right time to reach out? How do I reach out? I don't want to feel insincere. Is it unethical? Can I make sales calls now? And how will that be received? I'd love to get your opinion on, for those people who are watching that feel that they just, that it's not the right time.
I think this is the right time as humans to connect and find out, how are people doing? How's your family? How's everyone coping with this? Of course, this is the right time. And it's funny because, for example, I may call my daughters, my younger daughter, especially on the phone. She won't pick up, but she'll text me, right? So I feel with clients a lot of times, you have to let them know before you call them that you're gonna call them, either text them or send them an email. And now I feel there's more spontaneous connection that is happening, at least for me. I think this is absolutely the right time to be taking care of each other and reaching out and making sure that people feel that they have our support.
And I think we spoke about this on the other call. You know, we're fortunate to be in a business that actually is needed right now. And I think a lot of our clients are in the process of adjusting to their new normal also. So they've got to run a network or a streaming service and they're doing it remotely from home, but their needs are still the same. And they're kind of sorting out how their internal teams work and how their external partners work. So I think the next is right. It's like, we have to all kind of reach out to each other and say, hey, we're here, we're up and running. And we're doing the best we can, and we're there for you if the opportunity comes along, or with clients that we already have, like, yeah, we're not missing a beat. We plan for this and we're there to keep the project going.
Tony, anything to add there?
You know, I vacillate a little bit over whether or not it's appropriate to even cold call right now, right? But it's hard for me to answer that question on anybody's behalf because I don't live their day. I don't see their situation or what the urgency is of their own business, whether or not they're doing well or they're doing poorly, and really kind of what, you know, how to act in that fashion. I can only speak for myself and my experience that, you know, relationships for me have been kind of the foundation of how I've always done business. And it's kind of at times like this where relationships matter more than ever, right? Mm-hmm. And I've actually, in a way, been pleasantly surprised at the willingness of people to connect during all of this, right? No sales agenda attached, right? And it's not that I'm not trying to drive our business. Of course I'm trying to drive our business, but I care as much, if not more, about how people are, how they're addressing the uncertainty for themselves. And you know, it's not business as usual, right? It may be business as usual, this new business as usual for us today, but in 2 months time, the script may be flipped again for all of us again. Right. If assuming that either goes up, down, or sideways, if the relationships are intact, if we're doing kind of the more behavioral things, for me at least, that are just like, listen, it's blocking and tackling on the daily. Not making sales calls as much as it's just have connections and connect with people. That, I believe, will transcend all of this. If you use any kind of sports analogy, it's kind of like being in the third or fourth quarter and you're getting the shit kicked out of you, right? It's how does your team rally? Well, no, the big issue for us is how do we either as an industry or as individual kind of business stakeholders rally with our own teams or with our industry as a whole to try to lift everybody up?
That's right.
And is that possible?
Yeah. I just want to add, Tony, because I actually think it reaffirms what we've been saying for 10 plus years, that it's all about relationships. And we've always built our businesses. I mean, we've had clients that worked with us when they liked us more than they liked the work that we were doing. So I think it's just, we've always talked about how important the relationships are. And I think this kind of just reaffirms what we've been talking about, you know, for a really long time, that we've built these relationships, we've become friends with people, and it matters now more than it's ever mattered.
I mean, we like them. They may not like us as much.
It's interesting. Louis Venezia from Pilot just in a Q&A said, like, isn't this redefining what a sales call is, right? And that speaks to kind of in this moment, what are you selling? You're not selling a reel. You're selling support. You're selling resources. You're selling trust. You're selling a relationship.
I mean, listen, the work is the work, and there's a lot of really, really talented people that do really, really great work, right? And for me personally, and again, as I mentioned earlier, I can only really speak for myself, but, you know, David and I have been in and out of each other's lives for 15 years, and we still talk on a really regular basis, there's a ton of people that I speak with on a regular basis. For me, really, it is about the relationships. The relationships transcend so many of these things. However, in addition to that, you have to be top of mind, right? Top of mind always wins the day. If you do good work and you're top of mind, you know, you will arguably get that call. It's not to say that that's like the ironclad rule about anything, but your ability or inability to be present and to for people to be aware of you is in many cases the difference between failure and success.
And so then as you're going through those calls, those what have you found that is, has there any been moment where it's been, you've gone too far over the line as far as that personal relationship? Meaning, you know, that, you know, you talk at Dinexa, you talk about 9 at night and midnight East Coast time. Too far over the line?
No, absolutely not. It's fine. It's, we're more than colleagues, we're friends. And we're there for each other. I mean, I'm talking about people that I have relationships with that go back 20 years, right? But a little bit off topic is that, sure, this business is all about relationships and the work is the work, but we people need to know, because there's so many agencies now, people need to know marketing is essential to the agency. So if an agency wants to be in this business or some sort of business in the next 10, 20 years, they really need to adopt technology. And they need to really use technology for what you call cold calling. And then the relationship starts from there. The agencies that do not start adopting technology now, and there are many that are completely resistant, they're not gonna last. Because the reality is that we're moving into a new era of machine learning, artificial intelligence, and this is just the beginning. And it's been going on, but now everyone's in the same boat. So I say, sure, we have, because the three of us have been in this business for a long time, we have relationships. Mm-hmm. But what if you're a brand new person in business development? What do you do? How do you do this? And so there's a new generation that they're afraid of the phone. They don't pick up the phone. Everything is by text, by email, by now, thankfully, we have, you know, video cameras. Yeah. But it's just, agencies also need to adapt and adapt very fast, because this is moving exponentially fast.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, can I add one thing to what Dinexa said, though, is you know, when you really think about relationships, I don't think about me as much as I think about our group or our team, and every touch point from our organization to our client partners is, I wouldn't say it's a selling opportunity, but it's a relationship opportunity. It's the thing that I try to underscore with my team currently, or with teams I've been with in the past, is, as Dinexa said, pick up the phone, make a connection with people, gain that trust, right? And yes, the creative has to be spot on. The production has to be spot on. The management of the production calendar with all the curveballs that get thrown at us on a regular basis, all of that stuff has to be in lockstep. Still at the end of the day, this business, if you put the business aside, it's still people dealing with people. And if you have that kind of unwillingness or inability to try to broker or shorten that gap, you know, those are the things that unfortunately in times like this might ultimately harm your business.
So let's take a slight pivot and talk about the creative for a second. So over the last 3 weeks, what are people buying? What aren't they buying? What do you see if you were to say, okay, over the course of the next 3 months, you need to double down on this? Well, obviously live action, we know where that is.
No, I had a great conversation with a mixed reality company, and they're doing now, they're working, for example, the NFL is working on the virtual draft because they can't do the live event, right? So they're providing that technology to do it virtually. Also, there's another company that's providing kits to directors and to talent, so you can have a shoot virtually, but isolated.
You're right.
So how do you use that footage and use innovative ways to create new content? I've also seen a lot of editorial-based content being created and things like that. So in times like this, we become very innovative in the way that we assert and we come up with creative to touch the lives of everyone that's watching and to do our jobs. And so I think that, once again, this is, it's a very difficult time, but it's going to send us in the right, on the right path for what's coming in the next 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And I was going to say too, it's like, from a sales perspective, geography has never been an issue. It's like, our clients are in LA, some are in Florida, some are in Atlanta. So we've never really reached out to people because we wanted to work with local talent. And I think the only thing that's affected us is we don't get on a plane and visit them every few months while we're in the middle of a project. But I think everything runs the same way it ran 2 months ago. I don't think anything's changed. I'd love to hear, if there's clients on this Zoom, how it affects them, because it seems to me they're not used to working remotely and they're not used to not having their teams together. I feel like it almost affects them more than it affects us on our side. Like Dinexa said, people we work with are pretty savvy when it comes to technology, and it doesn't really affect not being in person.
Yeah, it is interesting, because I was having a conversation with a small agency owner who said that for her business, the fact that she had all the hardware and software needed to help their clients work remotely is what's driving her business right now. Still doing the same editorial work, but having that infrastructure and a small business has been critical for her. Talk about PR for a second. This is a question from actually David Herbrook. Do you guys have an opinion on PR and whether there's a good reason to invest in that right now, or is there too much noise out there for it to be effective?
To the extent that, again, we can march our businesses forward, it's, you know, we're all trying to play our part and trying to maintain some sense of normalcy, right? I mean, I've been reading a lot of articles about, you know, the tipping point between sincerity and pandering and hitchhiking, or basically, grabbing on to the thought of the moment, which is, we're here, we're with you. You know, it's that fine line between it. But really, if the intent of the PR is really like, listen, if I'm not pushing out the messaging I have done historically to help create awareness for my business, then my business might suffer. Then the answer is, then do the PR, right? I mean, we don't want to pretend that we're, you know, you don't want to ignore this, and we're not pretending it, but also not every piece of messaging has to have a pandemic paragraph built into it.
And I've seen people post on LinkedIn and say, this might not be a good time. I feel bad, but I wanted to share this because we just won an award, blah, blah, blah. I think all that stuff is great. I really think that we have to, as long as we show empathy, we have to get back to as normal as we can be, offer solutions to our clients, offer solutions to the companies that we work for to keep our doors open, and just keep moving forward as best that we can, as if this is our new normal and it's going to go on for another couple of months.
I'd like to add that personally, I'm watching, as a consumer, brands very closely, because some of them are doing the right thing and some of them are doing the wrong thing. And we will not forget. I just watched a spot by Dove where it's a series of first responders with the mask marks on their faces. And I thought that was very genuine. It was right on brand, and it was a PR piece. It was a spot, right? But personally, I've been reading and watching the brands and what they're doing, because some of them, it's not the right time to be doing some of the things they're doing, for example.
Yeah. This question, another question, and they're flying in from Emmett Armstrong, which ties into what we were talking about before. At what point does our strategy change from just build a relationship, a check on people, to, you know, okay, time to get back to work, right? So this idea of I'm just calling, into the concept around, like, actually now we need to convert.
I think that time is now, but I still think you have to make your approach a little bit different than you would have 2 months ago. Like, from a cold call perspective, I like finding clients that I see are doing really great work that are appropriate for the time that we're in. You know, mm-hmm. Like Vans just did a whole campaign, the iHeart Radio thing that they just did last weekend from everybody's living room. People are doing really great work right now, and I think it's good to reach out for them and acknowledge that and try to build those relationships.
at some point, like, business takes over, right? So I always think about it from the perspective of all the same rules apply, really, with or without this. I always have two questions that I always have to try to answer on their behalf, which is, and I have it written on my whiteboard, which is, why should I care and what's in it for me? And from a sales perspective, I'm always trying to kind of distill it down to really trying to understand from that person's point of view. And I don't want to assume anything, right? I also kind of live by the four agreements, which is don't make assumptions. Don't take anything personally when someone says no, or I'm not interested, or go away. Always do your best and be impeccable with your word. To answer Emmett's question, I know Emmett very well. I think it boils down to, again, trying to put yourself in the shoes of the person who might be potentially buying from you, and try to, you know, see if there's ways you can maybe already answer those questions before you ask them, to at least help inform your opinion, because you're not the only person who's dialing their phone or emailing them or trying to get some of their attention. For a lot of people working from home, our attention is even potentially even more stretched thin, especially for people who have young families or, you know, kids that are just kind of creating enough chaos as it is. If you can't lock them in the bathroom all day, then you have to pay attention to them, right? So how can I be as unintrusive as possible and still kind of, you know, help identify the things that are causing a bottleneck in your life? And is my service a good fit to help alleviate that bottleneck for you? And ask those questions.
From Paige, this is for Denixa, for you. What sort of technology are you talking about? Oh, this is from before. How do you think agencies need to be using technology for going forward?
You know, as simple as, there's a lot of resistance, believe it or not, for some agencies too. Maybe this is the time to get organized. And as simple as implementing your CRM, customer relationships management program, where you are not making spreadsheets all day, you're actually using the data to help you move your business forward. And everything is automated instead of, you know, living in the dark ages where you're just, you know, taking notes and saving or printing or, you know, doing things like that. So just adopting simple things. There's so many tools out there that we should be adopting and implementing. Obviously, that's not going to do the work for us. But I think when everything comes in alignment, from marketing to great business dev people to great tools to amazing creative, when all that comes together, you create an incredible inbound funnel, right, where you can manage instead of being outbounding, and because it's exhausting all the time. You can handle, instead you should spend that time managing the people that want to work with you because they're reaching out to you because they saw the amazing work that you're doing. And how do they see your work? Because you're doing an amazing job spreading the word, using marketing, using the tools that are at our fingertips now that were not available 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. So there's so many agencies right now, from entertainment marketing to branding, to social. There's a sea of agencies out there, and most of them are doing amazing work. So how do you come above that?
That's right.
And that, it has to be an alignment of all those things. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
As individuals, we don't scale very well. And so to Denixa's point, I mean, I think of these as active and passive channels that we can employ to help either create awareness or connect with the people that we intend to kind of, that we desire to do business with, right? Enough that I don't feel like I'm always selling, right? How are we using our social channels? How are we sharing the work we do, things that are relevant to the industry? And we all can always be, me personally, I can always be doing a better job of being more a part of the community and being available and aware, raising awareness for people. It's the thing that I'm striving constantly to do better. And especially given today's environment, it's almost even more important now to really kind of be out there. It's also, you know, it's maybe one of the reasons why we're participating in this forum right now is to express to everybody, like, call me. I would love to talk to people, and it doesn't have to be a business. It's just connecting with people in our lives and sharing this experience and trying to get through it together. But from a marketing POV, it is. Yeah, it does help.
But I also think it's important to realize, like, the industry is not slowing down. I mean, Quibi launched yesterday. Peacock and HBO Max are launching next month. They're talking about the NFL season. Things are moving, and things are going to still keep happening. I just don't think anything's going to really slow down once people get their feet back under them and realize we just got to keep doing what we're doing on a daily basis and just keep those relationships going.
What's interesting is that what I'm hearing from the three of you, the same best practices that we deploy with our clients' work, meaning the intersection between the art and science, the data and the creativity, we have to employ that exact same thing when we're doing our business development and our reach out. So from a really tight CRM to top of funnel techniques, from awareness into trial, all the way through retention on that standpoint. And don't shy away from those tried and true metrics that and best practices that work to drive viewership.
I think know who your audience is. Like I think if you have clients that are travel and leisure, may not be clients you're going to be reaching out to right now. They're really hurting more than any of the entertainment clients. Maybe some of the news clients like CNN just have their hands full. So I think it's more like anticipate who you're talking to before you reach out to them.
Perfect. Okay. Some other questions I'm going to go through as well. This is from Denny too. Hey, Denny, how are you? Appreciate the forum and bringing together such good people. My question, what do you think clients need more than ever from you/your agencies during these challenging times? I'd argue that we've been too deliverables, project-based campaigns versus utilizing creative thinking to tackle the very real challenges we are seeing on the front lines. So the question base, what do you think clients need to do more? What do you think clients need more than ever from you or your agencies during these times?
Well, he kind of already answered his question though, didn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, Denny's looking for you.
Denny, I think that companies helping you with strategy, looking into the future, you're at IMAX. So how you've been hit hard. You're talking about live events. People are going to the IMAX and you had an amazing year last year. How can we bring that experience now virtually? Is there an alternative to what you do on the big screen that we can experience at home virtually? So coming to you with ideas and solutions where we can expand your business. I know you also got into esports and doing other events at the IMAX with IMAX. So how can we help you discover new ways for revenue? It's not just about a project. I totally agree with you. It's more about coming up with ideas together with you, working with you side by side to come up with ideas that are going to help you grow your business and make you look amazing. And you're amazing already. You're a CMO. So that's, you know, that I think that's part of what we need to do. It's part of our responsibility.
I agree. And I think one thing that's going to come out of this that probably is going to change everything is strategically how we market to people. Like I think, you know, how we approach what we do probably is going to be changed forever. And I think it will have more of a strategic component rather than just a random one-off creative approach to it.
Okay, that's actually is a nice fold into the next question from David Herbrook again. It seems like being a diversified agency in terms of services is more important than ever right now. In our case, campaign marketing is dead for obvious reasons, but branding assignments are continuing forward with more expediency than ever. Following this logic, does this finally answer the age-old question of what's better to be, a generalist or a specialist?
I believe in to be a specialist, not a generalist. And when I say that, you can have services in your agency, but they're all related to the entertainment industry, for example. I don't think you should be a jack of all trades, that you should specialize. I'm a believer of Win Without Pitching and Blair Ann's teachings, which is like you should specialize. That's my take.
David?
Yeah, no, I think kind of somewhere in the middle of that. Like, I think some companies are just editorial. And I think companies, at least from our perspective at Trollbeck, you know, we're strategy and we're execution and we're creative. So are those all the same tool in the toolkit? Are they all different? So I think you offer what you're really good at and what you're confident about. You can't be everything to everybody. But I don't know if any shops, like we're not just going to be an editorial shop. We're not going to just be a design animation shop.
I think understand the business you're in. There's we all have, being in the creative business, everybody kind of fashions themselves as chameleons to a certain degree, right? We want to be able to stretch our capabilities. We want to take on new challenges. But the only cautionary tale I think that I've learned personally in this is, you know who you are at the same time, right? Don't try to either pretend to be someone you're not or have a capability you truly don't have. I think you can kind of fit in both of those buckets. You can be a generalist and you can be a specialist, but really understand where your strengths lie and also understand where you don't have strengths, and don't pretend to, you know, be everything to everybody just because you want that next job or you want that next opportunity. Too many times historically in the business, we say yes, and then we scramble to try to find the people to do that thing because we want the business, right? I think if you're really thoughtful about your approach and you're honest with your relationships, and it goes back to Danny's question, which is, for me, it boils down to trust, right? If you can earn that trust, then you have that seat at the table and you can have that more strategic conversation mm-hmm. with them about how, you know, how do we as a collective, as a partnership, solve this problem? Sometimes it's admitting that you don't have you don't necessarily have the solution, you don't necessarily have the skill set, but maybe knowing where to go to find it.
Do you think, and this question is from Gabrielle Guccio. Hey, Gabrielle, how are you? It's a long question, but basically the net of it is do you think that we as communicators should have had a more proactive approach in putting the message of caution out there with people who weren't social distancing at the bars, the beaches, and the park? I mean, do we have an obligation of initiative stepping up on such a role to take more responsibility towards those audiences? I mean, is it, and I think what Gabrielle is getting at is there a role for an agency in a social cause marketing when you see something like this that isn't happening, to pivot and not wait for a network necessarily to come to you?
A lot of agencies are doing their part. Hi, Gabe. All of my friends are on the line. A lot of agencies are doing their part on social media, for example. I've seen a lot of agencies kind of reassure people and send the message out about social distancing and everything else.
And I think people, like, we got approached by the Ad Council to do some work, and they wanted it even too fast. We just couldn't turn it around as quickly. But I think they've done a pretty good job. I think this was a tough one to get out ahead of, but I think that Absolutely. The Ad Council really turned around some animations very quickly. And I've seen Viacom, CBS doing a lot. I think we could all do more.
One more question that I want to get from each of you. We talk about a lot, in a lot of these conversations, we talk about a lot of how things have changed or how difficult they are and how, you know, we've had to pivot. My question is more about, when we get through this, because we will, how does that change your core business for the better? What are those new opportunities? What are those new best practices? What have we learned from a positive standpoint, which will affect our go-to-market strategy moving forward?
Hopefully we've taken this time to look within, do more learnings, also clean up your house, like just like look inside. Yes. Not literally. Well, that too.
It's a metaphoric house we're talking
yes,
about.
Yes. But like get organized, like take this time and then strengthening your relationships, your human relationships with your clients, mm-hmm. because that's what we're doing right now. Right? Connecting with people at a different level that will help us continue once this is over, this nightmare is over. We don't know when, but it'll pass like everything mm-hmm. else. But I think it's a great time to just reflect and get things in order. At least that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I also think, and it goes kind of back to what Tony was saying earlier. It's like, you just can't, you're going to get called out if you're BSing your way through things. And I think that just has to continue. I think if you've built strong relationships and you've been able to show those people, those strong relationships carry through this time for however long it does, I think it just continues. I think you just have to keep doing what you're doing.
There's an aspect of this that kind of takes, again, I go back to all of like these really simple basics, which is, why are you doing this in the first place? Why do we exist? Who is our consumer? Where are they? What do they want? Why should they care what's in it for them? as I experience this on the daily, I'm constantly asking myself that question. And there's no way to predict what's going to happen on the other end of it. But I think going through this experience, we will be a lot better at understanding how to answer those questions for ourselves and for our business partners. But I think it does take a bit of a two-way dialogue, right? It does take a willingness on both sides of the equation. If we are an industry, if we are really partners with each other, a willingness, mm-hmm. and I'll go back to Denny's question, a willingness to have both parties sit at the table, pretend like they have all the answers, but we have all the right people here. And we have a high degree of trust amongst each other that if we do this together, we will figure out what's going to happen on the other end of this. I can't control the outcome. The only thing I can control is my behavior and the questions I ask, because I don't have the answers. All I have is the questions.
It's interesting. It's made us as a team at Trollbeck a much better team. Like seeing how our people have risen up and supported each other and worked together. I feel like when we all get back into the same room, we're just going to be that much closer and that much better of a team. I just think it's made us stronger as a company, just to see how people are communicating and working
together. Feel so you are.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone this morning who was saying that they were working on a project together, and that they were, as they were facing all these challenges of getting this project out the door, seeing each other in their natural habitats, in their houses, at crazy hours, doing things they've never had to do before, it fused them tightly as a team, if you will, you know, and created those bonds. And so they've been moving much faster than they ever thought they would have, because they had that great deal of empathy and understanding. And I would say, you know, to add to all three of you, what you're saying is that this is forcing us to move into true relationship building than transactional email blasts, right? To truly understand and have that connection and have that empathy. So we just are running out of time. I want to thank the three of you, David, Denixa, Tony. You guys are amazing. Thank you for the time. And Promax community, all you guys, you know, watching, thank you so much. We are doing this because we love you and we love the community. And we look forward to connecting with all of you in real life at some point. And stay safe, everyone. We will be seeing you soon. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Paige Alpiniak is editorial director at Promax. Andres Trujillo, Promax's social media and community manager, edited this podcast. Video helper provides the music. Digital content producer Kayla Marie Hardaway contributes to Daily Brief. Promax is rebranded to just Promax, so you can find us on Promax Global on Facebook and Promax_Global on Twitter and Instagram. You can also always reach out to us at dailybrief@promax.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.